Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Audible.com. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/campfire. That's audible.com/campfire. Thanks, Audible. The Campfire is also brought to you by The Mysteries Paranormal Cruise. Join me, Micah Hanks, and Amy Bruni on a great cruise in November 2017. To take advantage of their one-week sale now through December 20th, or for more information, go to MysteriesCruise.com. That's MysteriesCruise.com.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the Campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. Happy holidays. I hope you're having a great time and a lot to look forward to. And we have a lot to look forward to today, a lot of great campfire stories. Also, I'm going to be telling you more about this very exciting paranormal cruise coming up in November 2017. But first, let's get to those campfire stories. I think you're going to like them, and here they are. We have a return caller, Matt from South Carolina, joins us. Now, he has a story, and he calls it Granny on a Platter. Ooh, that sounds spooky. Matt, welcome back to the show, and tell us what happened.
Thanks, Jim. I'm glad to be back on. when I was about 9 years old, my parents were divorced, and not too long after that, my dad kind of sent me fishing to maybe meet some women. And so I think he knew there were single teachers at my school.
Right.
And actually, the one that was kind of my last choice wound up becoming my stepmom.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But part of getting my family, just me and my dad and my stepmom and her daughter together, was meeting her family. And so we met her mother, and she was a very sweet woman, real salt of the earth, Southern Indiana, no nonsense type. And she was kind of famous in the family for being just a fantastic cook, making all these kind of Southern dishes,
uh-huh.
like green beans with, and it's like she would stew them to death with bacon. And she would make kind of funky farm stuff too. There was this one stuff called scratch, and I can't even remember what it's made out of. But she would make things like beef tongue and fried brains.
Ooh.
And yeah. So anyway, she was she had been a school teacher, and she was always very sharp. But she started to show signs of dementia that were really shocking. She started to go downhill quickly. And so my stepmom, basically brought her mother home to live with us. And my dad grew to calling her mom, and won't use her real name, but he'd call her Mom Madison.
Okay.
And so Mom Madison came to live with us, and I literally saw each day that her condition was going down quickly, and she was acting very bizarrely, sometimes getting angry and this kind of thing that was, and then being physically debilitated. And it was just weeks. And then she wound up, we had to take her to a hospital with a neurology specialist, and it turns out she had Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Oh, yeah. I know what that is.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're one of the few people. Well, this was back in 1984, and nobody had an idea. And I actually looked it up in Wikipedia, and it's literally a 1 in a million disease. That's how rare it is. It wasn't until later in the 80s when we first started hearing about mad cow disease that it came back to us. And it turns out Creutzfeldt-Jakob is a variant of mad cow disease. And so I often wonder if it was some of those farm type foods like cow brains or pig brains or whatever, that is how she contracted it. Wasn't that long after that she died, and I was about 15. I think this was 1984. So it was the very first funeral, very first time I actually knew somebody personally that died in the first funeral. So I was really apprehensive. And I remember seeing her in the coffin, and she was wearing this nice blue dress. Oh, something I need to say about her is her appearance. She was kind of a plain looking older lady, but, the thing you notice about her is when she would smile or when she would talk, she had a lot of gum, like, how I think of John Elway.
Yeah.
Of Denver Broncos fame.
Yeah. We're familiar with him in Cleveland.
Yes. Yes. He's called Antichrist there, I think.
Yeah. I think that's what they call him.
But, anyway, she had, when her mouth was open, you saw more gums than teeth, and she had really little kind of nubby teeth. And, but super sweet lady, was always great to me. But I remember going up to the, coffin. It was an open coffin, and she was wearing the blue dress, and she looked, they did a good job. And I'd never been to a funeral, and I've had people tell me this before too, and I experienced this. I felt like she could just open her eyes at any minute.
Right.
And, so of course that wasn't the case, but, so after the funeral, we went back to where we came from, and, I put it out of my mind. And I'm going to fast forward. So now I'm in my mid-20s. I've got my first real job, and I got it in my hometown. I've got my own apartment, but I'd still would, stay with my folks or crash out at my folks like over a weekend.
Sure.
And I remember having this terrible nightmare. In this dream, I was in an old house, and I could hear people murmuring kind of in low voices, down the hall. And I kind of followed to where that was. And I saw this group of people all gathered around this table facing it. And I could just sort of see in between the cracks, between the people's backs, I could see glints of candles burning and table settings. And I got up closer and I kind of pushed my way in. And on this dining room table, which is where Mom Madison used to serve these fantastic meals, was this great big silver platter. And on the platter, she was laying down, spread out on the table.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And with, like, garnishes around her, like leafy green vegetables and fruits and candles burning and, like, crystal candle holders. And, I got this really bad sinking feeling. And as I'm watching, so I'm at the head of the table. Her feet are closest to me, and suddenly the whole tabletop starts to levitate as if it didn't have any legs. And then what's really weird is it pivoted, kind of like a drawbridge coming up. If you can imagine the pivot points at my feet. So she's raising slowly up, coming towards me closer and closer until she's like, finally, she's like, we're almost face to face.
Oh my.
And this whole time she's like laying in repose. She's wearing the same blue dress that she had on in the coffin, and her eyes are closed and she looks really peaceful. And all of a sudden, just when our nose is about to touch, her eyes flash open and her mouth flashes in this wicked grin. And instead of her little teeth, all her teeth are sharpened to razor points.
Oh my, wow. Ooh.
Yeah, like right in my face. And I started screaming and I woke myself up. And it was such a vivid dream. I mean, I can picture it perfectly. And it really, really bothered me. And so I just kind of stumbled downstairs, and my mom was, she is a great Southern cook too. Learned it from Mom Madison, and she was making breakfast, and my dad's down there, and I'm taking a bite. I've got a bite in my mouth, and my dad just kind of, just to make conversation or whatever, kind of solemnly, he says, you know, it was 10 years ago today that we buried Mom Madison.
Oh, boy.
I'm just like,
spit out your food?
I cannot believe it. Yeah, I dropped the fork to hit the plate, and they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh, my God. And they saw the look on my face. And I've never told any of my family members about this because I didn't want to disturb them. But I just said, oh, that is so weird because I just had a dream about her. I didn't let them know it was like this crazy, scary nightmare. And the weird thing is I've never had a dream about Mom Madison either before or since then. And I have no idea why she was portrayed as kind of like this possessed thing, because right. She was far, far from it. I mean, she was a sweet, honest, you know, great woman. And it scared me, and it baffled me. So I have no idea why that happened. And I also, even subconsciously, I would not have known the date when she died and when her burial was, because I was 15. I could care less about what day was what.
Right.
And to be 10 years on the dot.
That is it's a strange coincidence, if there is such a thing as a coincidence. But boy, wow. Now, so do you have any theories?
I don't. There was nothing. It wasn't like foretelling anything. I can't remember anything going on around that time. The only thing I can think is maybe somewhere deep down in my subconscious, I knew that was a significant date. That's I have no explanation.
The thing that I wonder about is this, you know, when we receive messages from the other side, from loved ones or whatever, you know, I often wonder if when something like this happens, if there's like interference of some type. Like, I think we're probably, from your description, of a similar age, and we're old enough to remember with maybe, you know, television wasn't crystal clear and you used an antenna and you get the signal and it was kind of distorted and the picture wasn't exactly what it was supposed to be. And I wonder if in some ways, and again, I'm not an expert in this stuff. This is just wild speculation on my part. But the idea that maybe you were getting a message or some kind of signal, but it came through as distorted, in this case, kind of horribly so. Just one.
Yeah. No, you bring up a good point. And also the idea that's been talked about of often there's kind of bad things out there that mimic, that look like
excellent point.
Things that you know and love, and you know, maybe that was the cause of the interference.
Well, I got to tell you, that is a spooky story. Yeah, really, really scary. Well, Matt, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it, and thanks for coming on the Campfire once again. And I know you have more stories, so we look forward to hearing from you again.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Jim.
Emma is on the line, a fellow Buckeye from Columbus, Ohio. Go Bucks. Anyhow, anyway, she's calling us. She's says she's always had a strange connection to the paranormal, and she has some stories to tell us in relation to that. Emma, welcome to the program, and tell us about this strange connection to the paranormal.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It all really started, I guess, when I was really little. I don't remember a lot of them, but my mom and dad really like to tell these stories, especially my dad, because he's honestly always been a skeptic. So it's always, you know, he thinks it's outstanding, everything that happened to me when I was a kid. I guess it started when I was around, like, I want to say like 3 or 4, I think. And one day my nursery was right off my parents' bedroom. And one day my dad, the door was closed, and my mom and dad, they heard, you know, me talking to someone in there and playing. And so I come out and my dad goes, well, who are you talking to? And I guess I said Poppy, which was weird because my grandfather, who we called Poppy, had died the year before I was born. And they didn't want to explain that to me yet, that I even had a grandfather, because then they'd have to explain death and go through all of those. So they were kind of, they were wondering how I'd known who that even was, especially
right.
his nickname. And they were a little curious about that. But they kind of blew it off, like maybe my siblings had told me or something. Until a few weeks later, my mom was looking through an old photo album, and she found, like, she was flipping through, and I stopped her on a page apparently. And I said, "That's who I was talking to in my room. That's my Poppy." And, you know, instead of it being a picture that maybe my siblings would have shown me of him, like, older, like they had known him.
Right.
It was a picture of him in his 20s, sitting in front of his barracks, when he was in the military.
Hmm.
And my dad was just like shocked by that. And all of a sudden, like, I just knew these things about my Poppy that they have no idea.
Huh.
And I knew he was a lawyer somehow, and my siblings swear
wow.
up and down they never told me.
That is
but,
strange.
Yeah. My dad always thought that I had this crazy connection to my grandfather, and I'd never met him, but I mean, I feel it. And I always think that, you know, he's kind of my connection. So
that
I think
is so
it was
cool.
really cool.
It
mm-hmm.
is very cool. And,
yeah. It was really neat. And I guess I kind of just had that connection a bunch when I was a kid and like to the other side, and my dad always kind of got creeped out by it.
Wow, that's pretty wild. Now, also, you mentioned something to happen when you went to visit your aunt. Something strange happened.
Yeah. We went up to New York and to visit our family, and we were there right before Christmas, and all the kids were unwrapping presents, and my aunt was pregnant at the time. And I looked at her, I stopped playing, and I just looked at her in the middle of her talking, and I said, in the most monotone voice, I said, "Your baby's going to come out black and blue." And then I looked away and I continued playing like it was nothing. And she was really freaked out. And she was just like, they didn't understand. And then when she ended up having Jackie, Jackie came out with the cord wrapped around her neck and really did come out black and blue. She survived. Everyone was healthy. Everyone was fine. But it definitely freaked a few people out in the family.
I guess that would. That is strange. That is really
strange.
To
this day, I'm still, you know, kind of wondering, like, I've had different experiences here and there, and I've always kind of wondered, you know, what this is and, like, why. And I love hearing other people's stories, and I've always found it really fascinating, but I've never really gotten any answers. So I just maybe assume that it's kind of a connection or some kind, but
that,
I guess I'll never know.
I do believe, and I've said this before in the programs, that some people just seem to be a little more connected to these things than others. And although I do all of these shows and have done well over 1,000 shows on the paranormal, you know, I don't feel that I'm sensitive, but I think mm-hmm. there are some people that are, and it sounds like you're one of them. Well, Emma, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. I'm so glad you found the show. I thank you for listening and for being a part of the campfire.
Thank you.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Audible.com. For a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial, go to audible.com/campfire. You know, I've told you about them for years. I am a user. I am a fan because Audible has an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original shows, news, comedy, and more. They just keep getting better and better. They up their game constantly, whether it's more content with things like Audible channels and all the great things that you get with Audible, or whether it's with their app, which just gets better and better and better. Fantastic. Always improving. And in general, I love the audiobook form. It's a great way to listen when you're doing different errands that maybe are not your favorite things, but listening to an audiobook from Audible, well, it kind of makes them your favorite things because, like, yeah, I'm mowing the grass, I'm working out, whatever it is I'm doing that's not particularly pleasant for you, but I'm listening to this great audiobook, so, hey, it's worth it. So power your body, power your mind with Audible. Now, for our audience, Audible is offering a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. So just go to audible.com/campfire and browse their unmatched selection of audio content. Download a title free and start listening. It's just that easy. Now, here is a great one to listen to. And I really give Audible major, major kudos for upping their game. I said they upped their game in the paranormal space. And they have a whole series of different books based on the experiences of Ed and Lorraine Warren. And one that came out in October, I'm looking here, it's got 4.5 out of 5 stars, or actually 4.7, excuse me, is called In a Dark Place: The Accounts of the Demonologist Featured in the Conjuring Films, Ed and Lorraine Warren. You're listening to this show, you're gonna love that. So the beauty of it is you can get it absolutely free. And usually, if you just buy it off the shelf, $19.99. What a deal. I think if you've been waiting, this right now is the time to try out Audible. Give yourself that free gift for the holidays. All you have to do, again, is get your free audiobook. Now, it could be the Warrens or it could be something else, with a 30-day free trial over at audible.com/campfire. That's audible.com/campfire. We know them. We love them. They're always getting bigger and better. It's such a great service. You're going to love it. You'll thank me. Check it out. audible.com/campfire. Thanks, Audible. Holly is another new listener. She's found us by NPR. Somebody mentioned us on NPR when she was listening. They asked him, what podcast do you listen to? And they mentioned Campfire, and I thought that was just great. So that's pretty cool. And she's going to tell us, she's got a few stories, but tonight the main story I think she's going to tell us is about her wedding night. Holly, welcome to the program all the way from Denver, and please tell us about this spooky wedding night.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me. Yes, I was getting married in California. It was a very small wedding, only less than 10 people. And we were getting married on a very small, secluded beach in south of Santa Cruz, and just tried to find the closest place to stay for after the wedding and go up to dinner. And it happened to be this place called the Brookdale Lodge, which when I went on their website, I found out was listed as one of the haunted hotels of America. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I read, you know, their website, and they had descriptions of different types of hauntings and stuff that were common there. And I really wasn't going there thinking that I was going to have any sort of experience. I was just going there because it happened to be the closest place to where we got married. And it was deep in the Santa Cruz Mountains. It was an old logging cabin, I guess. Very interesting place, a little run down, you know, when we were there. And actually right now I looked up before we had this call, and I guess they have just recently been sold and are no longer open right now, but are under renovations and should be opening again soon. So it might be a cool place for people to check out. But I didn't tell my husband about the haunting part of it. You know, it kind of seemed a little incidental to me, honestly.
Right.
And we got there, and there was some signage up, like as we walked in the lobby to check in, that kind of, you know, announced that they were a haunted hotel and everything. And my husband looked at me, he goes, "What did you do?" And I just kind of laughed it off, and, you know, so nothing's going to happen. You know, it's just kind of funny. And then we have our dinner, and we go to bed, and, you know, we're just completely exhausted and, you know, go to sleep. And in the middle of the night, my husband wakes up. I sleep through this whole thing. I'm a very sound sleeper, but the door banged open, and it wasn't, this hotel didn't have, like, you know, the modern, like, electric locks, you know. It was like an old door with a lock, you know. And he kind of thought, well, it's just there's a party going on next door or something, and somebody opened it accidentally. And so he goes and closes the door, and he goes back to sleep. He goes back to bed, and he lays down, and he's lying there, and he feels someone lay down on the bed next to him and curl up, you know, start spooning with him, curled up along his side. And he was so tired, and he just thought, he knew that there was nobody there. He knew it was not a person. And he just thought, okay, I just don't even care. I'm so tired. I'm just going to go to sleep. And he went back to sleep. And the next morning, he woke up and he told me what had happened. And I flew out of bed because on the website, they had listed that the exact description of what he described as someone laying in bed and spooning as the most common haunting that happened there. And it happened mostly with male, patrons. So they called the ghost, they had a name for the ghost, which I don't remember now, but they assumed it was a female. And and he had no idea. I mean, he had not read the website before we came. There was nothing there that described that. He had no idea. It was just, it happened, you know? And
that's disturbing. The spooning ghost, you know, ooh.
Right, I know. And it's fun though, because I get to tell people, well, we shared our wedding bed with someone else, and then I get to explain what happened. So it's kind of a fun story, but also like, whoa.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean,
it's definitely a
can't take that.
That's definitely a woe. And people might get the wrong idea. It's like, oh, I see. Now, I know you have a couple of more stories, so maybe pick one and tell us the other one if you could.
Sure. Well, I guess another fun one is that, growing up, I was an open-minded skeptic, but I'm still not sure what ghosts really are, you know?
Join the club.
It's like, I'm just open-minded to that. And some things that happened in my childhood, I was kind of open-minded to maybe there's something else out there. But when I was in college, I lived in this apartment building, and it wasn't that old. It was only built in like the 1960s or so. And I was in college not too long ago. But I was living there alone. I had a roommate that left, and I had the apartment to myself. And things started happening. Like, I would find things in random places, and, it was enough that I was just like, okay, well, maybe I moved that and didn't remember or something, but it was just odd. And I started remarking on it, you know? And my husband, who was then my boyfriend, he was over a lot, and he's noticed some stuff too. We thought, oh, maybe I have a ghost. Ha ha ha. Let's joke about it. And we kind of joked about it. And then, things started to escalate a bit. I started finding coins everywhere. And then I heard something that was a sign that a ghost was trying to talk to you. And I was like, okay, well, that's not interesting. But, I probably don't really have a ghost. And then, like, one night I remember I had this box fan in the doorway between the living area and the bedroom to circulate some air. And I left and I went out to dinner. I came home and the box fan had been moved completely into the middle of the room, stretched as far as it could on the cord. And still I said, maybe the wind, kind of pushed it, or it pushed itself with the force of the air. I don't know what I was thinking. But I put it back into the door frame, and I left again. And I came back a couple hours later, and now the box fan was moved completely to one side of the door up against the wall. And no way could it have blown itself there, like any possible, reality. And yet we still just joked about it. And then I got a cat, and we joked, oh, the cat will let us know, because animals are supposed to be more sensitive, so the cat will know. A few months went by, cat, no reaction. And so we're like, oh, okay, well, maybe there really isn't a ghost. Maybe it's, just weird things that happen. And I had this lanyard that, you hold an ID with on a door handle, and had, the metal end to it. And the cat loved to play with it. She would bat at it and it would bounce all around, make a ton of noise. And she just thought it was great. And one night I was there and I was across the room with my back to this door at my desk. And I hear the lanyard bouncing around. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, oh, the cat, she's just playing with this thing. And I look down and the cat is at my feet looking behind me, her fur all raised up. And I can hear that darn thing moving on that door. And I go, oh my gosh. And I slowly turned around and there it was. And I stood there long enough that I went through all the possibilities in my mind. What could possibly be causing this? It's not moving back and forth like a breeze is blowing it. It is moving randomly. Like there's an invisible cat batting it around and or a hand moving it. And it's just moving all over the place and banging against the door and just up in the air, just completely random. There was no way something natural could have, you know, like wind or something or breeze to be causing this. And I just sat there, and my cat and I just stood there just looking at it. And then finally it stopped moving. And I walked over, I took it off the handle and I threw it away. And I said, okay, I believe it. I've got a ghost. And, you know, nothing happened after that. That was it. That was the last paranormal activity that happened at that house. And I never felt anything bad, but I'm convinced the ghost just wanted me to know that it was there. Just wanted some acknowledgement that it was sharing the space with me. And that was it.
But after that, cool.
I'm like, yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, short of actually seeing an apparition, it was like, yeah. So, well,
you've got some great, great stories. I do love those. I hope you come back and tell us that other one. But Holly, sure. Really, really interesting. And I love those stories. Thanks for being a part of the campfire tonight.
All right. Thanks. I'll keep listening. I enjoyed the show. Bye-bye.
Next up on the campfire is Jane from the city. So nice. They named it twice. New York, New York. And she is a blogger, and she's going to tell us about a story that she wrote up for our blog, and she'll tell us where to find it. This one, though, is a spooky story that happened to her neighbor. So, Jane, thank you for joining us, and please tell us what happened.
Sure. Hey, Jim. Thanks to be here. So, as he mentioned, I've lived in New York City for a long time, and this happened in an apartment building on Riverside Drive, and it happened a while ago to a neighbor of mine. And one of the reasons I like this story is I'm not sure how to explain this. I don't know if this is a ghost, a crazy person, my neighbor. I don't know what happened. So my neighbor lived on the fourth floor with her husband. They had no children. They had three large dogs that used to bark all the time. And they had a habit in the morning. They had a whole routine. My neighbor's name was Kim, and her husband is Dieter. And Dieter would get up first. He would shower, get ready, walk the dogs. While he was out, Kim would get up, shower, get ready. Dieter would come back. They'd sit down. They'd have breakfast. They'd both go off to work. This was a fourth-floor apartment building, and that's important because the front door was locked in the lobby. And you could go up by elevator or stairs. And the hallways, mm-hmm. There was really no place to hide. Anyway, so Kim, one morning, she hears Dieter leave with the dogs. She gets dressed. She comes out of the shower. She walks through her living room. And she sees a short, petite Asian woman. She described her as being maybe early middle-aged, very well-dressed, in a business suit with heels and manicured, everything looking great. And she's facing the wall of Kim's living room. So Kim stopped in surprise and watched her. And the woman was looking at the photographs of her family that she had on her wall. And Kim said she was moving from picture to picture, gazing at them as if she was at an art gallery.
Huh.
And not in someone's private apartment at 6:30 or 7 a.m. So Kim, you know, like all New Yorkers, she keeps her head in an emergency. And she said, hello, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman slowly turned around, looked at her, didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then turned around and went to the next picture on her wall.
Huh.
And Kim said, can I call you a cab? Can I get you a taxi?
Right.
And the woman looked at her, didn't say anything. So Kim said, well, I'm sorry, but you can't stay here. And opened her apartment door. The woman never touched anything, and Kim never touched her. Opened the apartment door, took her down four flights of stairs. The woman followed her very nicely. No one was in the building's lobby. She crossed the lobby, opened. There's a double door, so the inner door and the outer door, both of which were still locked.
Right.
Opened them, escorted her out to the sidewalk, and she said her last vision was the woman was just standing motionless on the sidewalk.
Huh.
She ran back upstairs. She locked the door. She ran upstairs. Her husband, who wasn't used to the door being locked, you know, ran into the door with the three dogs and said, "Why did you lock me out?" And she told him the whole story.
How bizarre.
So I don't know. What was it? We talked a lot about it. And one of the things is people said, well, you know, it might have been a woman who has a mental problem.
Right.
She's disoriented. But then she would have had to have timed her entry perfectly at 7 a.m. to watch Dieter and the dogs leave and slip in behind them, because the door was locked until then. So she would have had to come in, you know, somehow watch from the staircase or the, I don't know where, and say, oh, there they go, and then go into the apartment to look at the pictures, which seems like a lot of planning.
Yeah, it does.
We don't know. We don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I'm classifying it as a ghost story.
Yeah, I think it's one of what I like to call a head scratcher. And those are some of my favorite stories. They don't quite wrap up exactly in a bow. It kind of leaves you thinking, and that's kind of neat in a way.
Yeah.
Something to ponder.
Yeah, I agree. It's something to ponder. And if she had just disappeared in front of, you know, your eyes, maybe it'd be more of a classic ghost story. But we don't know what happened. And the fact she went to the fourth floor, people who wander into a building usually are going to be on the first floor and maybe trying those apartments. So did she try every single door on the way up? Like, the neighbors were freaking out a little, like, oh my goodness, did she try every single door on the way up and yours was the first one she found? So again, who knows?
Who knows? But I do know, speaking of things to ponder, you have a website. Tell people about your blog.
I do. I have a website called Jane Explains, and it's a blog about living in New York City. My tagline is your go-to Friday afternoon time suck. So I write about New York. I write about politics. I write about society. It's kind of just whatever comes across me. But the theme is living and working and, you know, existing in New York City.
Very cool. Well, Jane, thank you for your time today and for sharing that head scratcher on the campfire.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on.
Kathy from Arizona is on the line, and she has a story about something very strange that happened to her when she was 18, when she was working at the Philmont Boy Scout Ranch in New Mexico. And we're so glad to have her on the program. Kathy, welcome, and please tell us what happened.
Hi. Yes, this happened when I was, as you said, 18 years old. It was my first time away from home. And I had gone to work at this scout ranch down in New Mexico. I didn't know it at the time, but this ranch is very, they have a lot of ghostly sightings. A lot of things happen there. It was actually on Unsolved Mysteries quite a few years ago.
One of my favorite shows.
And, yep. And we lived as staff members in, we had tents that we lived in for the summers with wooden floors and cots. And, I had my own tent, and I was asleep one night. And every night I'd like to go to sleep with music on. So I would turn my music down very low on my radio. And I was laying in bed sleeping, and I just felt a presence in the room. I opened my eyes and looked. And sitting on the end of my bed was an old man.
Oh, man. That's scary.
It really wasn't. It wasn't scary at all.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't frightened at all.
Okay.
He was very old, probably in his like late 80s, early 90s. He looked very much like a farmer.
Uh-huh.
He had overalls, a plaid shirt, like an old farmer's hat. And he just said very quietly to me, "Get up and turn off the radio so that I can talk to you."
Huh.
So, still wasn't frightened. Just wasn't scared at all. Got up, went over to my radio, turned it off, and I turned back around and he was gone. But I could still feel the presence was still there, but I did not see him anymore.
Wow. That's really spooky. Very spooky. So it's interesting to me. Why didn't you find that frightening? What was it? What do you think it was about the experience that made it not scary?
I really don't know. I really think that maybe it was just it wasn't evil. It wasn't an evil spirit. Maybe it was just someone trying to comfort me and let them know I was there. I'm not sure. I think it was because it was a good spirit, nothing evil about it. So that's why I wasn't frightened a bit.
Well, I thank you for sharing that. It sounds like it's, you've continued your interest in this sort of thing, though, because you listen to shows like this. So I thank you for that. And I thank you for sharing that very, very neat story.
Thank you.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by the Mysteries Paranormal Cruise. You know, for the longest time, I've wanted to be a part of a paranormal cruise. And I'm so excited to announce that this dream is finally coming to fruition. Finally! Thanks to the good folks over at Holiday Maker Travel. Yes, from November 8th to the 13th of 2017, I will be participating in a Mysteries Paranormal Cruise. And I'd like you to come along. Now, you know, that in and of itself is exciting. But once you know who is joining me, I mean, little old me, I'm not worried about me. Think about the other folks you're going to get to meet and talk to. First, you have my pal and fellow podcaster and author, Micah Hanks, who is a great guy. If you've not met him, you'll just love him personally. And he's so smart about this stuff, way smarter than I am. And then last, but certainly not least, there is paranormal megastar Amy Bruni. And she has something almost like 200,000 followers on Twitter. And you'll know her from TLC's Kindred Spirits, that new hit series, and from her time, of course, with Ghost Hunters. So you can get all the details at mysteriescruise.com. That's mysteriescruise.com. Now, this will be in the Caribbean. There'll be shore excursions, exclusive speaker presentations, rotating dinner with speakers. Yeah, you could even have dinner with me. I don't know how appealing that is, but hey. Now, it's going to be via Princess Cruises on the Crown Princess, which is one of their largest cruise ships with room for over 3,000 guests. It's a beauty. You're going to love it. And best of all, now through December 20th, if you take advantage of their one-week sale, you will be able to book at the reduced deposit of only $50 per person. That's usually $250 per person. So think about that. That's a big, big savings, but you've got to act quickly. So what do you need to do? You need to go over to mysteriescruise.com. That's mysteriescruise.com. And if you book in December and use the promo code JHDEC, JHDEC, you will get an autographed copy of my Campfire 5 book. I hope you'll join us. I am so looking forward to it, so looking forward to meeting you, and I think we're going to have a great time. I hope to be sailing with you soon on the Mysteries Paranormal Cruise. Join me, won't you, over at mysteriescruise.com. That's mysteriescruise.com. Thanks. Kelsey is a new listener from Seattle. She's been listening for about a month. She found us when she was looking for kind of ghosty podcasts, and there we were. So I'm so glad she found us. She's a touching story about her dad, and we thank her for coming on the show and sharing us. Please share it. Please tell us what happened, Kelsey.
Of course. So my dad passed away when I was about 13. And since then, I've had dreams about him, never really recurring, but he was alive, and it made sense in my dreams that he was alive. But there was one time back in about 2008 where I had a very different dream than anything that I've ever had before. And I was sitting around dinner with my mom, him, my brother, and my two cousins. And I started in my dream getting in a fight with my cousin, and it got really heated, and I ended up leaving in my dream. I was walking along the beach and trying to calm down. Oh, actually, in the dream, I remember my dad like broke up the fight, and that's when I decided to leave and calm down. So then I called back after I'd calmed down, and he's the one who answered the phone. And I remember him saying, you know, it's going to be okay. You just need to let it go. Everything's going to be okay. It's fine. And as he was talking to me on the phone, it was like staticky and started to break up. And that's when I woke up from my dream. And what was so distinct about it is I could actually hear his voice, in the sense that it's not just like you're hearing someone talk in your dream, but I could hear his voice. Whereas the other people in my dream, I couldn't, like, it didn't register as their voice, if that makes any sense.
Right.
It's just a very distinct, indescribable occurrence that happened. And as soon as I woke up, I had this immediate feeling like this presence was gone. And of all the dreams that I've ever had of him, I've never heard that voice, never felt that presence before, and I just immediately started crying just out of nowhere. That was the only like reaction I could have to it. And then what makes the whole experience more remarkable for me is several months later, I ended up getting in a fight with that cousin, and we ended up having a falling out, and we haven't talked to each other since then. And a lot of the same things that we had an argument about in the dream is what we had argued about in our falling out. So to me, the dream was just that. What I like to think of it is my dad kind of giving me advice from, I guess, the other side, but just kind of being there. In a time before I even needed, before I ever knew I needed him. So,
well, I believe that our loved ones are around us even after they've passed. Yeah. And many times they come back in one form or another to let us know and maybe help us out. And it sounds like that's what your dad did.
I believe so.
Kelsey, thank you so much for listening and for sharing this very personal story on the campfire tonight.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Lena is on the line from Missouri. She is brand new. She's been listening 2 weeks, but she found us on Spotify. She says that, when she's at work in the evenings, it helps keeps her going. And we're really appreciative of that and glad she found the show and enjoys it. And not only is she a listener, she's become a caller. And we appreciate that, and that's a lesson to you. Those of you who have listened for years and have a story, be brave like Lena. Just go over to jimherold.com/campfire and sign up. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight are some experiences that Lena had in her childhood home. And Lena, welcome to the program and tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me. Well, when I was 13 years old, I was home alone, and it was back when MySpace was cool. And I was on the computer, and in my parents' bedroom, and their bed was directly behind the computer. So I'm sitting there talking to friends, playing music, and all of a sudden I hear somebody sit on the bed.
Ooh.
And we don't have any pets, and it was one of those old beds with the springs and wood. Right. And you could hear it as clear as day. And it got so cold in the room, and I was just like, okay, it's just in my head. All right, I'm just gonna go downstairs and watch TV. So I log out of everything and stand up and start walking towards the door. And directly in front of the door is the staircase to go downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I take 2 steps outside of my parents' bedroom, and I hear steps charging behind me. And I run down the stairs so fast that I couldn't even look back up. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't want to find out. So I ran outside and I stayed at my neighbor's house until my parents came home. So,
wow. I don't blame you. That sounds very frightening.
Yeah. It was probably the worst experience of my life. And recently my grandmother had died, and I was just,
sure,
on edge already. And, a little bit of history about the house. We bought it brand new. We saw it be built, and this was when I lived in El Paso, Texas. So there was rumors that it was like on an Indian burial ground.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we never really got any confirmation on that. But it was really in the middle of the desert, you know.
Right.
So really anything could have happened out there. There's just no way for us to know. And I talked to my neighbors, and we lived in a cul-de-sac, and they were like, you know, we feel like we're always being watched. So apparently it wasn't just that house. It was that whole neighborhood.
And your brother
had something going on.
Your brother had experiences too?
Oh my gosh, yes. He was terrified of that house. And he was about six years old, and his bedroom was directly next to mine. And he would yell at he had like Darth Vader posters. And he would yell at the posters, telling them to stop talking and to stop and yell and scream. And I could hear him in the middle of the night. And
oh my goodness.
We'd all run in there and be like, and he'd destroy posters. He would tear them apart and throw them out. And so eventually we just stopped with the posters with him. And then one day, my stepdad was painting the house, and it was the middle of the night after everyone had gone to sleep. And my brother had woken up and gone out into the hallway with him. And was like, can I just sit here? I just can't sleep. So my stepdad was like, yeah, that's fine. And so he goes back to painting. And my brother all of a sudden says, Dad, whatever you do, don't turn around.
Mm.
And my stepdad was like, what? So he turned around, of course. He's like, what's going on? And there was nothing there. But he said my brother's face was just pale. And he felt so uncomfortable that he ended up letting my brother sleep with him that night. And they stopped painting and called it a day and went to bed.
Oh my.
But I mean, I never felt comfortable in that house, and we moved out probably 3 years after that because the military relocated us anyway, and I felt pretty lucky to get to move out of there, you know. I have no desire to go back.
I don't say I blame it yet. Well, Lena, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad you found the shows. I hope you'll tell your friends, and thank you for being a part of the campfire tonight.
Thank you so much, Jim. Have a good night.
Jose is on the line from East Texas, and he has a story about some strange things that he and a friend saw in the Texas skies when he was a kid. We're so glad to have him on the show. He says he doesn't tell this story a lot, but we're so glad he chose to come on the campfire and share it. Jose, welcome, and please tell us what happened.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. So it happened, I believe the summer of 99, I was about 10 years old, and I'd gone over to a friend's house, and while we were there, we went down the street on our bikes to play with some friends. Well, on our way back, the sun was starting to set. I remember that. The sun was low on the horizon, and as we were riding our bikes back, we caught something out of the corner of our eyes that just seemed strange. And we both looked up, and in the sky was this large ball of light.
Mm.
It was just flashing lights, similar to how you see a squad car flash their lights.
Huh.
I mean, it was dazzling. Yeah. And it didn't seem very far away. It was maybe about 40 feet in the air above us. And it just stayed there. It floated there for a second. We looked back down at each other. You know, we were kind of shocked about it. And we looked back up, and it was gone. We never heard it coming. We never saw it going. It just disappeared.
Wow. And, I mean, do you have any theories in the years past? I mean, I'm sure you listen to shows like this. I'm sure you've read about UFOs and things. Do you have any thoughts, or your friend, what it might have been?
We didn't. I mean, our first thought was UFO. Being 10 years old, you watch movies and you hear stories, and so that's immediately what goes into your head. It's a UFO. but as I've gotten older, it's a memory that stuck with me, but I was never able to really come to a conclusion on what it was. You know, I do remember the sun being low. So that's kind of one of the things that people said to me is, as they heard the story, well, do you think it was the sun maybe just
right,
kind of in your eyes? But no, I distinctly remember you know, the sun setting.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what it could have been. I guess you could call it a UFO. I never saw it again, so it can't be identified.
Yeah, that's very, very strange. Well, I know you said in your email that you don't share it very often, so I really appreciate you taking time and sharing it with us on the campfire. And I would say this, if anybody else has UFO stories, I know people think that this is just about ghosts, the campfire. And really, the campfire is about anything supernatural, unusual, UFOs, those head scratchers, it could be cryptids, not just ghosts. So we're so glad to have folks like Jose who come on and share maybe other strange things that have happened to them. Jose, thank you for being on the program tonight.
Thank you.
Well, that was another fun campfire in the books, and I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you'll tell a friend. Also, don't forget to check out our friends at Audible over at audible.com/campfire. Get that free audio book. Show them some love. They've supported my programs longer than anybody, so they deserve our respect, and give them a try. You will not regret it. Also, if you're in the market for a vacation in 2017, run, don't walk, over to mysteriescruise.com. That's mysteriescruise.com. And take advantage of their current sale going on through December 20th. I think you'll enjoy it. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to The Campfire. Happy holidays to you. We'll be back next week with a show right before Christmas. And we'll talk to you then. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.